Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies for...
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio. And I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And we have a guest today, the Wolf Tracker, who also can be heard on Blog Talk Radio. And we are going to talk about, is there really such a thing as the Year of Jubilee? Or is that just another scam by these phony so-called prosperity preachers, these liars and scam artists that seem to make their way into people's homes? So we will be talking about that today. And also I want to remind you that we do have a website, propheticnews.com, and a YouTube channel under my name, Susan Puzio, and then we have Greedy Preachers TV. And if anybody wants to make a reality program out of that, please contact me, because I think that would make a great reality show, Greedy Preachers TV. And we could have a time with that. Amen. So very interesting this week. Of course, we have Francis Jorge, whatever his name is, running around the United States. I suppose it's been a security nightmare for people to try to protect this man who rides in an open car, which is very, very foolish. But we can kind of see it's a parallel, isn't it? Because it's very interesting. To see the crowds coming out and worshiping this man. And it's the same. And even my mother was watching one of her game shows yesterday, and they interrupted the game show. I think it was somewhere 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock in the morning. They interrupted the game show to say, "We're going live now to Pope Francis." I'm like, they don't even interrupt a game show when Obama is having a press conference. So, you see millions of people coming out and grabbing this man and kissing his ring and crying. But that's what's going to happen when the Antichrist comes on the scene. And now, being raised Catholic myself, now I was raised Catholic. I went to Catholic school for 7 years. So I know all about the Catholic Church as far as what they believe. And to see people... this morning, he's having a mass, and he raises up the wafer. And, of course, they believe that Jesus actually he prays some kind of magical prayer, and Jesus comes and lives in the wafer. Yeah. So then they're all bowing down to this wafer, and then he has a golden chalice, and that's ironic, right, because he's preaching about the dangers of capitalism and of riches, and we're supposed to think of the poor. Yet he's surrounded by these gold, jeweled, encrusted chalices, gold candelabras, gold tabernacle, gold everywhere, and flying around in a 747 or whatever it is, and then he gets into a Fiat. Now, you know, you can't make this stuff up. So, and no, Jesus doesn't live in a wafer. He doesn't live in a wafer. So, and you see, the millions of people believe that actually Jesus comes down someplace. I don't know where he comes from, but he comes and he goes into all these wafers all over the world. He actually, somehow his body goes in there, and then his blood goes in there with, which Jesus already shed his blood once, so you can't make any more blood. No, you can't make it. So But people actually believe this by the millions. So it's no surprise to me that people believe people like Rod Parsley and Paula White and Jonathan Cahn. It's really no surprise, is it, when we see millions of people, the masses coming out to honor this false prophet called the Pope. So we'll have more on that in the next few weeks, but let me bring on my guest. Hello, Wolf Tracker.
Hello, Sister Susan. God bless you. How are you doing today?
Pretty good.
Wonderful,
pretty good.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, always interesting to talk with you. And, of course, our brother, the Wolf Tracker, and his program on Blog Talk Radio, and he has Daily Manna from Heaven also. And so those programs are available to you. And our brother is well-versed in his knowledge of the Bible. He's done extensive work in Bible colleges, writing curriculum, and pastoring churches. And so he's no novice when it comes to the things of the Lord. And we say that only because sometimes people think that because we're not famous, that maybe we don't know as much as Kenneth Copeland might know or Kenneth Hagin might know, but God has people that maybe you don't see us on TV, but we do have some knowledge of the Bible. Of course, we don't know everything. We're still learning, and we learn from each other. So I just kind of wanted briefly to introduce our brother to you and some of his credentials. So we're going to talk today about the year of Jubilee. Brother Wolf Tracker, I want to play a special clip though before we get started. Now this clip is in honor of you.
Okay.
And I'm sure that when the clip was played, when Dougie, actually one of your favorite people, Dougie Shackelford over there at Paula White Ministries, and they like to have these prayers before their services on Sunday, and they do a lot of binding and loosing and decreeing and declaring. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I think that, you know, they mention you in these prayers. And Dougie, I'm just trying to bring this one up. I think Dougie mentioned you. I think he's really mentioning you in this one prayer. They seem to think that somehow they pray so they can blind eyes and bind probing eyes, and how are they going to bind God from probing into their business?
And the God who sees all things, right? Especially he takes note of scamming, fleecing, lying to his people, mangling the scriptures, twisting the scriptures, distorting the scriptures. God keeps note of all of that, and as the prophets of old have all declared, who can hide from the Lord? Who? And the answer, obviously, is no one. No one can hide. You can hide from the IRS a few things, and you can hide from Senator Grassley a few things. And, you can steal videotapes from hotel cameras, and, there's things that you can do, right?
Yeah.
In this world, but in the world to come, no. That's why it's beautiful when the Lord put it in perspective, and he said, on that day, many shall try to convince me that they're my disciples and shall say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we do miracles in your name? Didn't we cast out devils? And he will say to them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Now, how would he know that they're workers of iniquity unless he was watching them?
Yeah, unless he had the probing eyes.
Exactly. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you.
Yeah, and that's what he's going to say to Paula White and
yes,
Dougie
definitely.
Shackelford. Anyway, let me play this ridiculous prayer, and I'm playing it in honor of the wolf tracker because I think Dougie over here is talking to the wolf tracker. So here it is.
All right. Our enemy, number four. By the fire and lightnings of God, we and personalities in the name of Jesus, we declare that all of our movement and all that concerns us are invisible to the enemy. Number five. We boldly declare that the Lord is our helper, and in the name of Jesus, we activate the angels of the Lord that obey his word and excel in this.
Yeah, yeah. We activate the angels of the Lord. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, he's activating the angels. And
yeah.
He's going to protect them from the probing eyes and the monitoring devices. Now,
yeah.
Brother Wolf Tracker, was that you? Were you monitoring, have you been monitoring Paula White and her scams?
Well, listen, all we can do is we can listen to her audio tapes, we can watch her church services, we can actually cringe and fall off our seats when her husband would advise people to watch porn. If that's monitoring, if that's probing, then I'm guilty of all of that and more. But the Lord commands us in his word to earnestly contend for the faith. And so I don't need permission from anyone to do what I'm doing, neither do you. The word of the Lord gives us permission. And the prophet Isaiah said, I have set watchmen on the wall.
Yeah.
That's what the prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah 66. I have set watchmen on the wall that will give God no rest and will pray day and night until Zion be established.
Yeah.
And so we're praying for the true church to be established. And
yeah.
I'm one of those watchmen. When Isaiah prophesied that, I'm one of those watchmen. You're one of those watchmen. And listen, what good are you if you're not watching?
Yeah.
You got to be probing. I mean, that's what a watchman does. So I'm sorry for Dougie if he wants me to be a watchman that doesn't see. But if I'm going to be faithful to my task.
Don't put your sermons and your TV program on the internet if you don't want anybody to watch it and to probe.
Exactly. And don't put it on YouTube. Don't put all that stuff on YouTube and then you don't want us to comment on it.
Yeah.
That's our role. That's our job.
Yeah,
and,
it's ridiculous, the whole thing.
Sure.
But that's how they try to intimidate you, like they try to make you feel like you're doing something wrong. Well, I have news in case Paula's listening today, and I know that she does listen to you at times. And in case she is listening, Paula, you can't run from Almighty God. He sees everything you do. He sees all the little tricks that you play. He knows the intents of your heart. So he doesn't really need us, you know. He does a pretty good job on his own when judgment comes. So,
sure.
We just repeat what you say, and we just play what you say so people can identify you as a wolfette and a false prophet and a Jezebel that you are. So we call on you to repent and to get born again, because no born again spirit-filled pastor, so-called, in his or her right mind, would ever stand up in a pulpit on a Sunday morning with families in the building, young children and teenagers, and tell the congregation to watch pornography.
Yeah, yeah, and again, that's just the latest stuff. But for years and years and years, Paula White has been polluting the minds of the saints by talking about her salacious activities and her body parts and the way she dresses and the way certain Sundays she shows up with push-up bras and fanny pads and accentuating different. She's just a seductress. She's really a seductress, and she's a peddler of heretic teachings. And the latest, to actually encourage people to watch pornography. I mean, I think that's when she and her husband crossed the line.
Yeah.
And it's, that's it. I think she signed her judgment warrant right there. And
yeah.
No one needs to go after Paula. If I stop talking about Paula today, that would be okay, because she's already signed her own warrant. And when God has warrant in hand, no one can escape God. No one can outrun God. No one can hide from God when God has celestial warrant in hand.
No. No. So, yeah. But I'm going to play a couple audio clips, and then we're going to talk about Paula's Year of Jubilee and Day of Atonement and her scams. Mm-hmm. But on her website, because you'll see what a liar she really is, paulawhite.org, she's asking for you to sow three atonement offerings, and one is for $50, and then there's one for $100. But the real interesting one is the third one, when you sow a prophetic cover and shield seed. So, in other words, you have to pay God off to shield you. You have to give him some money, otherwise he doesn't protect you. And that offering is $914 for Psalm 914. And she sends you, for that one, she sends you some gifts and some trinkets.
I hope she paid it.
She better get it for herself.
Exactly. She's just sowing one for her, one for John, and one for Bradley. And
yeah.
She better sow it because she's going to need
Paula,
it.
Yeah, you're going to need it. So here, I'm just going to play a few of these clips because you're going to hear the now this is a prime example of what some people call satanic doublespeak, and some people are very good at it, and she's one of those people, because she's going to tell you that she doesn't lie and she doesn't use scams and she's not a prosperity preacher. She doesn't do that. She never does that. But then in her own words, we just read to you from her website where she scams you for $954 for a shield and covering seed. So we're going to hear Paula in her own words now. And she says that she doesn't use any Jesus junk. Here's Paula.
Amen. And it be done against you. All right. Deuteronomy 16 says this. It says this. I don't have time to teach it, but on the Day of Atonement, they have to three times a year bring an offering. Offerings free will, tithe is mandatory, except everything's free will because you get a choice. But except three times a year, God said, you shall appear before the Lord in the place that you'll choose. And it talks about the Feast of Weeks, Feast of Unleavened Bread, and the Feast of Tabernacles, which is Atonement. They shall not appear before the Lord empty. Watch verse 17. He says, verse 17, very important. He says, let every man give according to his ability. And he said, according to the blessing of the Lord, which thy God hath given thee. So he says, bring me an offering. When it talks in Malachi about bring the tithe and offering, it's talking about the feast season. So he says, bring an offering. Today and next Sunday, we receive an atonement offering. And God says, a sacrificial one, according to your ability. And here's the reality, and I leave it in your lap. This between you and God, because it's holy. And I don't believe in Jesus junk. I don't believe in any manipulation. I believe this is too, so holy, so pure. I'll tell you, your pastor will sacrifice. You have to be honest with yourself. If you spend whatever you do on your mortgage, whatever you do, $300, $500 on your car, $200 on your dress, whatever you do, and you come and give God $5, that's a joke. That's a joke. That's not according to the blessing. It has to be a sacrifice. So what you're saying is my car, my house, my everything else is more important than you, God. Sacrifice, not what's left over. I sacrifice to the Lord. It's between you and God. I'm the mailman. I delivered it. What you do with it is up to you. Amen. I'm going to pray, and we're going to bring an offering between you. And the reason I didn't teach you all the stuff that comes as a result of an offering is because I want to wait. I'll teach it to you by Thursday and by next week. And I'm telling you it's your time. Spirit of living God, speak what we're to bring, what we're to honor and worship you with, and let us obey in Jesus' name. Make a check.
Yeah.
Now, I wrote down a couple points, and we'll go over this.
Sure.
She says, okay, bring an offering. It's the feast season. It has to be sacrificial. It's holy. She doesn't use manipulation, and no, she doesn't use any manipulation in Jesus junk. And her and your pastor, meaning her, she will sacrifice. And then you have to give. Don't give God $5. She says, don't give God $5. Mm-hmm. Like God needs $5, and she's only the mailman, she claims.
Yeah.
And what comes as a result of an offering? She's going to teach you that next time. She's going to teach you. So please, Brother Wolf Tracker, what does all that mean?
Well, all that means is that she's a con woman, because when you play the clip from the beginning and you hear it, it says that, and she quotes the scripture, three times a year you will come before the Lord, and you will not come empty-handed. Now, when she first, she says three times a year, and I'm going to read to you what those three times are so that you can see that the Day of Atonement is not one of them.
Okay.
So I'm going to read you the scriptures. We're going to read it right out of God's word, because she talks fast, and she doesn't fill in the blanks, and you will see that the three times a year, not one of those times is the Day of Atonement, which she's trying to raise the money now for the Day of Atonement. That's number one. Number two, she says that it's free will. No, it wasn't free will. It's part of the law. They were mandated. No one is to come before me empty-handed. So when she says free will, means, well, I can give if I want to. No, according to the Mosaic law, three times you were to come before God. And those three times, you could not come empty-handed. You had to give something, and you were forced to give something. So that's the law. And the beauty of it is that today we Christians are not under the law, right? So so she double talks. She says it's free will, but it's not free will. She'll keep hitting you each and every year at the same time of the year for the money. And these people they're tired of giving. Her people are tired of giving. If you watch any of her services, she'll collect the tithes and offerings, which you already know that's a scam, right? So the first time they get tithes and offerings, that's a scam. Then they hit them up at the close of each and every service. They hit them up for another offering, which is another scam. And all of these feast offerings are scams anyway. You don't have to give at Passover. You don't have to give at Pentecost. You don't have to give for first fruits. You don't have to give for the Feast of Ingat. You don't have to give for all these feast offerings are simply all scams. The tithe is a scam. Everything is a scam. And so that's what they're operating there. Fleece a tree. But let me read to you, if I can,
yes,
out of Exodus 23, okay. At Exodus 23, and I'm going to read to you from the NIV, and it starts at verse 14. And it's a short passage. It's only four scriptures. It says, Exodus 23:14, because the audience should hear the scriptures. Three times a year are you to celebrate a festival to me. This is God speaking in the first person. Celebrate the Feast of Unleavened Bread. For 7 days, eat bread made without yeast, as I commanded you, at the appointed time in the month of Abib, which is April, which is our April. For in that month you came out of Egypt. Now, this is the first of the three feasts, or the first of seven feasts, really, but the first of the three major ones. So unleavened bread is the same thing as Passover. They're one and the same. So that's the first feast that you're to celebrate. Then it says, then it immediately says, no one is to appear before me empty-handed. Then, that's verse 15. Verse 16, it says, celebrate the feast of harvest with the first fruits of the crops you sow in your fields. That's the second feast, and that one is celebrated in June. Then it goes on to say, celebrate the feast of ingathering at the end of the year, when you gather in your crops from the field three times a year shall all men appear before the sovereign Lord. So now the third feast, the Feast of Ingathering, is this feast that they're going to be celebrating now in October, which is simply called that, the Feast of Ingathering. So there are four feasts. And in another name for ingathering, another biblical name is the Feast of Tabernacles. So you have the Feast of Passover, you have the Feast of Pentecost, and then you have the Feast of Tabernacles. No, those are the three feasts that you're supposed to come to God and bring something, right? Now, she wants you to bring something for atonement, but atonement is not in this list.
Yeah. Now, what was a feast? What did they have in their hands? And how does that apply to New Testament Christians?
Well, first of all, a feast was just that, a celebration, a religious celebration between God and his people, right? So God communed with his people. He tabernacled with his people. And then based on the particular, like, for example, the Feast of Passover, what were God's people celebrating? Well, they were celebrating their liberation from Egypt.
Yeah.
Right? That the angel passed over their home. He killed the firstborn of Egypt, and they hurried out of Egypt. They took with them bread that was unleavened. So it's celebrating that historic fact that God did actually liberate the people from Egypt, and that that actually happened, and that that is a type of us Christians coming out of the world, right? We can.
Yeah, right. We celebrate that every day.
Right. Exactly. So then, so then you have the Feast of Pentecost. Right, or the feast of, or what is really called first fruits. Now, this is interesting because the first Jewish feast, or the first Hebrew feast, is Passover. That's in April. Okay, so number one is Passover, and it's celebrated in April. The second feast is celebrated 50 days later, and that second feast either goes by the name of Pentecost, which is the Greek name, or first fruits, which is the Hebrew name. Right. Okay, now notice, that one is celebrated in June, okay, 50 days later,
okay,
after Passover. And no one can alter these dates. No one is allowed to manipulate the feast or flip the feast or anything. Now, our dear friend Paula has very conveniently done this. She's done this. Since most Christians don't know that Pentecost is the Feast of First Fruits, and that First Fruits is the Feast of Pentecost, our dear friend Paula, who's a pretty smart scam artist.
Yeah,
she's taken that feast, and she split it in two.
Yeah,
she's taken the first fruits part, which is the Hebrew name, and she
put
it
that
in January.
Yeah,
right. So she gets two offerings for the same feast. Look how smart she is. So she says, "Oh, we have to celebrate first fruits in January because first fruits is first. So January is the first."
Yeah.
But no, if you're going to be honest, if you're going to be biblical, if you're going to be transparent and sincere, you can't alter these feasts. If God says we start celebrating them in April, we celebrate them in April. We don't celebrate them in January. So she took the one that's in June, she put it in January, and she uses the Hebrew name to collect the money in January. Then she uses the Greek name to collect the money in June, Pentecost.
Yeah.
So she's slick.
Yeah,
she's slick.
No problem.
She's taking what she, I mean, she's brilliant. Talk
she
about
doesn't
an
manipulate.
Alpha
she doesn't manipulate. You heard her.
Yeah, she doesn't give you Jesus junk.
No.
She doesn't give you Jesus junk.
No.
Right. So you notice, I mean she's brilliant. And she's made a living. In fact, there's a lot of audio to prove the fact that January has really been good to Paula, and that whole first fruit scam that she created has really been good to her, because most of her money that comes into her ministry comes in January.
Yeah.
And Parsley and others have jumped on the board and said, you know,
Paul can't
be the only one
it.
Getting this first fruits money. Yeah, we're going to jump on it too.
Yeah.
But they're pretty clever scam artists. So a feast is us having a celebration with God.
Yeah.
And God's people celebrating what the Lord has done. And so, of course, Pentecost, for us Christians, it's the feast when the Lord sent the Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit came and the church was off and running.
Yeah.
For the Jewish people, it meant that the law was given to them on Mount Sinai. 50 days after they left Egypt, Moses led the people to Mount Sinai, and there God gave them the law. And you ask any rabbi, you ask any Jew, what's Pentecost all about? And it's about the giving of the law. In fact, Jews today do not celebrate first fruits. They don't give first fruits. They don't do any of that. They don't. They commemorate the giving of the law. So all of these feasts is it's like when we come to church together, we sit down, and my church used potluck dinners, right? And it's
yeah.
a fellowship. It's a holy fellowship between God and His people. No one there is scamming. The pastor never raised an offering at any of these feasts. I don't know of any pastor. I don't know of any pastor in America who's raising a feast right after communion. I don't know of any pastor. And communion is our feast. That's our fellowship with the Lord. It's the Lord's
yeah.
table.
Yeah.
And but these Word of Faith preachers have taken all of these Hebrew feasts. And they've turned it into a money business. So it's basically fellowship. We're fellowshipping with God because of something that He did for us.
Yeah.
And
so
that's
it's
basically
not
what
holy,
a feast is.
It's not required. It's not a special day. This is the holiest day of the year.
No. In fact, if I can read out of the New Testament, the Apostle Paul was writing to the Galatians. And the Galatians had been visited by some Judaizers, which is basically what Paul White is and what Rod Parsley is and the others. And Paul is just blown away because he established this church, the Church of Galatia. I mean, he founded it. And he gave them the pure gospel. And he writes in chapter 4, verse 9, he says, "But I don't understand, but after you knowing God, or rather you have been known of God, how you have turned again away unto weak and beggarly elements, whereupon you desire again to come into bondage. Why are you observing," this is verse 10 now, "why are you observing days and months and times and years?" You see, and he's referring to the Jewish calendar.
Yeah.
Because the Jewish people had to observe days. They had to observe months and times and years because it was required of the law.
Yeah.
And you see, it's Jesus set us free. In Galatians 5:1, Paul says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherein Christ has made us free."
Yes.
And he says, "For I say unto you that you've been set free from the law."
Yes.
So why would I want to go back to on a rigid basis have to celebrate these days when Jesus set me free from all that?
Yeah, amen. Well, apparently they didn't read the New Testament. But what were they actually required to hold in their hand?
Well, again,
don't come before me empty.
Well, again, it depended on the particular feast day. Like, for example, tithes, right? When we think about tithes and people brought tithes, well, they didn't bring money. They never brought money when they brought tithes. If they planted corn, they brought the corn. That's what they had in their hands.
Yeah.
If they planted tomatoes, they brought tomatoes. Whatever your crop was, that's what you brought.
Yeah.
And then everybody ate it.
I never saw anybody eating money. Did you? Did you ever see anybody stick a $10 bill in their mouth and chew it? I never saw that.
No. All this stuff that they were bringing is what we know as perishable goods, right?
So that's what they had in their hand.
Yeah, they had perishable goods, which had to be eaten. These people were coming from all parts of Israel to celebrate these three feasts. They were bringing perishable goods, and they brought it. They contributed that, and then there was a potluck. Everybody ate from all of this.
Yeah, yeah.
The priest didn't sock it away in the bank, and then they bought jets with it.
Yeah, yeah.
No, the people participated in what was brought, and they ate it, and then they returned home.
Yeah, because Paula, she makes it so spiritual, and she says, we have to give it to God. We're giving it to God because it's so holy, and you can't stand before Him empty. But you're not giving it to God. You're giving it to Paula.
What does God want with it? God said to give it to the widow. He said to give it to the orphan. He said to give it to the stranger, right? God said, feed the outcast, feed the poor. That's what it was meant for. What was God going
to
do with it?
Yeah, not for Paula to live a lavish lifestyle. She lives one of the most lavish lifestyles in the congregation. But, of course, we've seen God strip her once, and he'll do it again by bulldozing. She was over $60 million in debt when she left Tampa, and the Lord bulldozed her two former church buildings in Lakeland and Tampa. They're no longer there. They went bankrupt, and they were sold at auction, and they've been bulldozed. So she's already faced one judgment, and if she doesn't clean up her act and repent, I mean, God is merciful and long-suffering, but I wouldn't be playing with God's people. I wouldn't be playing with God's people, and I wouldn't be playing with people's salvation, especially people's salvation. That one I wouldn't be playing with. But let me play this other clip here from Paula.
Good for you. That God's not after you. That God is, because I get tired of all the labels. I get tired of the labels. It's like they label you prosperity preacher, and you've never heard me preach on what people think of prosperity, like you get to get like God's a sugar daddy. I don't believe like that. But I do believe that God is a good God, and he wants you spiritually prosperous, because to prosper means to break forth, to break out, to push forward. He wants you emotionally prosperous. He wants you financially prosperous. He wants you relationally prosperous. I don't want to serve a God who wants to hurt me. The God.
Now you heard that, right? She doesn't teach anybody that you give to get.
But that's all she does, and this is why she won't debate anyone. She won't. I've invited her every time I've done a show on Paula. There's an open invitation. It's written on my program description. This is the number, Paula. You can call. You can have your son call. You can have anyone call. She'll never. I've done now close to 200 programs. She's never called any of the 200 programs. She has an open. She won't defend herself. She won't. She won't stand up for us. I keep exposing and exposing and exposing. And, yes, she does teach that there is a sugar daddy God. Yes, she does. She does teach that. And there's a lot of audio that we have that proves that. She contradicts herself a lot.
Yeah.
Because once we beat her over the head with some broadcasts, then the next Sunday you see her reacting to what we said during the week. And then she'll try to fix it. That's one of those. That clip you just played is an example of me proving that she's a prosperity gospel preacher, and her reacting to that, to those statements, and trying to fix it. But she is. She's all that and more.
And worse. I mean, she's all that and worse because really a prosperity preacher. The way they preach the gospel is they tell people that you have to give something to get something, but that's not the way it works, because true Christian giving is based on the royal law of love, which we give out of love because we want to bless somebody, because we believe as Christians, or we're supposed to believe, that it is more blessed to give than to receive. So anybody that tells you anything different is a liar and a manipulator, because we've created a church of selfish, greedy people by this doctrine. And we see one of the top promoters of it, one of the greediest people that there is in Paula White. But now, I'm going to play, let me play a couple more of these clips.
Okay.
And then we'll finish up with Paul, and we'll get to Rod Parson. We'll talk more about this, the Jubilee, because they're also promoting that. This is about 2 minutes.
Own way. But I want to shift. I don't want to go and miss another moment. I don't want to just keep doing the same thing and getting the same results. Perhaps that's what you've done. And why not try God's way? Why not say, I don't even fully understand all this, but God, I'm going to honor you. And as I honor you in obedience, because my heart is right with you, I pick up that phone right now, I dial the toll-free number, and I don't know who I'm speaking to. You've never done this, but God is calling you right now. The Holy Spirit is dealing with you right now. When you get a revelation and God opens your eyes to see the value and the importance of this, your life will never be the same. You pick up that phone right now. You honor God with an atonement offering. How much, Paula? Whatever God tells you. Maybe it's $2,000, maybe it's $20. I don't know. What is the value of the blood of Jesus to you? I mean, we spend $100 like it's nothing on a dress. I mean, we spend $100 at Payless. We go to Walmart and spend a couple $100. What's the value of the blood of Jesus? Honor God with that sacrifice. Call the toll-free number. Write the P.O. box. Go to the website. When you do, my announcer will tell you what I'm going to get to you and help you have as tools that will help you continue to grow in your faith. Pick up that phone and say, God, here is what I honor you with. Here is my Day of Atonement offering. And there's tremendous blessing connected to that, because you cannot do anything by faith and in obedience that you honor the Lord, that His hand and blessing does not come back upon you. So as you do that, or write the P.O. box, or go to the website, and you sow that Day of Atonement offering, there's tremendous blessing. As I honor God, God honors my obedience. So call that toll-free number right now, and I just pray that whatever assignment the enemy has for you that is in the year ahead of you, because of your obedience, you are applying and appropriating the blood. You're saying, I recognize what Jesus has done for me. And just like communion, I discern the blood of Jesus. I honor His blood, and I celebrate the covenant that you've made with me. God bless you.
What an impassioned plea there.
Oh, sure.
Here's a couple points that I wrote down about this. Don't miss a moment. We have to honor God, try God's way, honor God with your obedience. Whatever God tells you, value the blood of Jesus and appropriate the blood.
Yeah, I can tell her how she can honor the blood. I can tell her how she can show that she's honoring the blood. Don't let her husband get up there and tell the people that they can watch porn. That's how she can honor the blood of Jesus. Because nothing that Paula says is ever going to convince anybody that she honors the Lord Jesus Christ. She doesn't honor the Lord. I mean, here's a woman who's trying to get you to honor the blood by giving money. When Peter says this, he says, and this is in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. For you yourselves know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain lifestyles and your former traditions, but with the precious blood of Christ, the Lamb without blemish and without spot. That's how we were redeemed. That's how we were atoned for, with His blood. And we don't, we're not atoned, and we cannot give God an atonement offer. You're paying God for your atonement.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Peter, I mean, folks, you got to read your Bible. If Peter says it's not with silver and gold, what's the equivalent of silver and gold today? Dollar bills, greenbacks.
Yeah.
So you can't do it. You can't. Peter says you can't. And Paula says you can. So who are you going to listen to? Someone who was inspired by the Holy Spirit, or a person who's inspired by greed and manipulation?
Yeah. Yeah. But that's what she counts on, is that she counts on that, well, I know most of the people in my congregation are dummies, because after my husband and I told our people here that they could watch porn, a few people left, but almost everybody came back. So after they pulled that, they said, well, look, these people are drinking our Kool-Aid, so we can tell them anything. So she counts on the fact that people are biblically ignorant, but nobody should be biblically ignorant, because we all have Bibles. I'm going to play this last clip. It's just a little bit over a minute.
Okay.
And we'll finish up with Paula.
You the power you need to overcome, as well as forgiveness, wholeness, restoration. healing, and deliverance. It is one of the most important commandments from God in all of the Bible. It is His most holy day, the Day of Atonement. God commanded His people to honor these holy days forever as an everlasting covenant with Him. As the most important and holiest day of the year to God, we must honor Him as He requires with a sacrificial offering. Deuteronomy 16 says, "No one shall appear before the Lord empty-handed." This is your opportunity to receive 8 specific promises from God. Increase, revelation, fresh anointing, God's power, restoration, financial abundance, no shame but deliverance, and God's presence. Call, write, or go online right now and give your very best atonement offering. When you do, we will rush to you a special atonement message created to teach all the blessings and benefits of this most holy season. When you send in your best atonement offering of $50 or more today, we will also send you a special brand new booklet created for you on this holy season. For your best atonement offering of $100 or more, we will also rush to you a beautiful miniature ornate Ark of the Covenant that serves as a constant reminder of all that God does in this season, in His covenant with you. For those that have an ear to hear, we have a prophetic opportunity right now. When you sow a prophetic cover and shield seed of $914 for Psalm 91:4, we will also send to you a beautiful scarlet 4x12 banner with Psalm 91:4 on it. Do not miss this opportunity and give your very best atonement offering today for God's most holy season. When Paula White...
You can't make this stuff up.
You can't make it up. You can't.
We already have all these blessings. Why do I have to buy them?
Every blessing that she enumerates, as Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1, we have been blessed with all spiritual blessings. With all. We have been blessed, past tense, with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. There is nothing Paula can offer us that we don't already have by means of Christ's death on the cross. He already paid for it. I don't have to send $914 to be shielded from anything. It's a scam. And here's the thing, you know, here's the thing. When you read, folks, those of you who are tuned in and are listening and are on the fence, listen to me. Listen to Sister Susan. We've done our research. When you read Leviticus chapter 16, there are certain requirements. When you read Leviticus chapter 16 for yourself, because it begins by saying, "And the word of the Lord came to Moses saying, teach this to Aaron." So God spoke directly to Moses. Moses was to teach it to Aaron. And all of chapter 16 is what is required on the Day of Atonement. Now, first, the first requirement is you need a high priest. That's the first requirement. You need a national high priest. So you have to ask yourself, okay, who's the high who is the recognized high priest in the church today? There is none. Okay, so we don't have a high priest. Because again, we believe that our high priest is Jesus. But
right.
But as a human being, the church is never going to agree as to who's the leading preacher in on the face of the earth. So
yeah.
We don't have a high priest like Israel had a high priest. Secondly, the Day of Atonement was a day that required fasting. If you listen to Paula's teaching and her announcement, there is no mention of fasting. It was a national day of humiliation and fasting. Paula does not make that a requirement. She never emphasizes that. She never pushes that. Well, if you're going to have a real Day of Atonement, you need a high priest. And secondly, you need fasting. Thirdly, you need two goats. You need one goat that you're going to sacrifice and another goat that you're going to let go. One goat that is going to shed his blood and another goat that you're going to transfer the sins of the people. Thirdly, fourthly, you need to acknowledge that the high priest is a sinner because Aaron had to bathe and whatever high priest followed had, and it was a lengthy ritual, and the people on the outside knowing the guy was in the inside bathing and getting ready for the Day of Atonement. Then he had to bathe his family. You have to purify the whole Levitical tribe. And then you have to purify the people. Then you have to purify the sanctuary. Listen, this was a long-lasting ritual. And none of the requirements in Leviticus 16 Paula emphasizes. Now, you know the one thing Paula emphasizes? What God doesn't require, money. That's the one thing Paula requires. Send God money. Send God money. Now, doesn't it just give you pause that here's a woman that's telling you to observe the Day of Atonement, but none of what is required on the Day of Atonement she's asking you to do, and what's not required she's asking you to do. Doesn't that sound funny to anybody? Sounds strange to me. And the one thing she's requiring you to do is to send in money, whether you send it to the P.O. box or whether you send it to the, you know, online. Or folks, it's just a con game. That's all it is.
Yeah, we know the best way to put these people out of business is to stop giving them money, because if you stop giving them money, they have to go away, because they're not going to get a real job doing real work, because they have learned how to be very effective and persuasive in scamming people. And then the most despicable part of it is to use the name of Jesus, the shedding of his blood, to use his word. That's the worst part of it, is that they have to bring Jesus Christ into this thing. And that's disgusting. But if you have friends that are flaky and they listen to Paula White and they send her their money, please refer them to these programs and ask them to search their heart and to search the scriptures and put this woman out of business. She doesn't need to be having a platform. If she wants a platform, let her go on YouTube or let her get a program on Blog Talk Radio or whatever. Just let her go away from television where she's reaching millions of people, potentially, because I don't believe she reaches that many people. I don't think that many people really watch her. But that's the most effective way to put these people out of business. Quit supporting these churches and going to these churches where they're scamming you. You don't have to go there. You're not under any obligation to go. And to be scammed and to feel uncomfortable when you're even sitting there. And the same thing with these television ministries. Just simple. It's very simple. Stop sending them money and they'll go away. So, of course, now Paula and Rod Parsley, which we're going to get to next here, because we are going to talk about the year of Jubilee and what exactly all that means, because both Rod Parsley and Paula White are pushing the year of Jubilee, that this is the year of Jubilee, and they say that it comes every 50 years, and especially this one is very, very special, this year of Jubilee. And the other night, of course, we know that Rod Parsley has throat cancer. And Rod Parsley received over 28 radiation treatments on his throat. He was out of his pulpit for 91 days when he appeared, and you can go look at the video on his website. He appeared on 9/13, and he appeared on 9/20 with a bandage on his throat. And on 9/13, he couldn't talk yet. He'd already been 91 days out of his pulpit, unable to talk. And on 9/20, he came and he did talk some, but of course he didn't really have his voice back. But and then to top it all off, after Rod goes through this torture and he's on a bed of affliction, what does he do? What does he do on Tuesday night? He invites Steve Muncy to his place there in Columbus, Ohio, and they're celebrating the Day of Atonement too. They're celebrating it too, God's most holy day. And the thing that it really shocked me, I'm telling you, I was shocked when I saw it. I put the program on Tuesday night, and Steve Muncy was outside the building, World Harvest building, and there was an altar there. There was a brazen altar there. And Steve Muncy lit the flame on that altar. And they started a two-hour program of doing nothing but scamming people to send in an atonement offering. I was shocked. I could not believe my eyes, what I was seeing. I shook my head and said, Rod Parsley, whoa, what is wrong with you? But I wanted to ask you, Brother Wolf Tracker, about the so-called year of Jubilee and strange fire. What did God mean when he talked about strange fire?
Well, when the original tabernacle was set up, God provided the first fire that was to be burning on the altar, right? God himself. Remember when God first appeared to Moses, he appeared to him in a burning bush.
Yeah.
So God and Elijah prayed for that God would burn the sacrifice, and we saw that God sent fire from heaven. God doesn't have a problem with sending fire. So God provided the initial fire that was to burn in the tabernacle, and the priests were to maintain that fire going from generation to generation. Now, it so happens that the two sons of Aaron, trying to set up their own church, if you will, and their own time of service, and they put on their own garments. They came in, and they brought an earthly fire. It was a fire that they prepared. You know, like when you burn wood, and you bring that fire. That's just earthly fire, and they brought that earthly fire into God's house. And the Bible says that the power of God came forth and killed them both because they were introducing strange fire. Or the word is foreign fire, and that word foreign in Hebrew can mean not of the original or from the outside or something that is not accepted. So they brought in a fire that was not accepted of God, and God took their life for that. I mean, he laid both boys out, and God said, and Moses said to Aaron, he said, I told you that this thing about being a priest and having a priestly family was serious business with God. Moses said it to Aaron. He says, you weren't supposed to play with this. This is not a joke. This is serving God, and serving God before his people is serious business. And that's how the chapter ended. And Moses was told Aaron not to mourn for his sons. So basically, strange fire is when you introduce into the church something that's from the world. And we can introduce music from the world into the church. And for years, scholars have talked about the sacred and the profane. They've talked about sacred history, profane history, sacred music, profane music. You know, and for centuries and centuries, everything was split between sacred and profane, and you just knew that you couldn't bring the profane and mix it with the sacred.
Yeah.
And when you saw Steve Muncy bringing in this fire, he didn't get that from God. So that strange fire, plus the very act itself is strange. It's demonic. It's diabolic. It's doctrines of devils. Because when we look at the atonement, and it's interesting because when Jesus died on the cross, he died on the Feast of Passover, right?
Yeah.
And he died, and the Bible says he died once and for all, the book of Hebrews says. Atoned for sin once and for all. Now, Jesus didn't come back 5 months later, because the Passover was in April, and then the Day of Atonement was in October. Jesus didn't come back 5 months later and then die for the Day of Atonement. So in that one sacrifice, and in that one dying on the cross, Jesus fulfilled all the feast in one act.
Yeah.
So they never have to be duplicated again. The very fact that Steve Muncy and Paula and Rod Parsley are revisiting the Day of Atonement, you see, it tells you that they're not satisfied with what Jesus did, that you have to add to what Jesus did on the cross. And Paul says in the book of Galatians that if anyone introduces that gospel, which is what we would call strange fire, let them be anathema. You see, you cannot introduce something into the church that God didn't sanction by his word. If you're doing anything that is not sanctioned by his word, it's strange fire.
Yeah.
And it's only by God's grace and mercy that, when I was in my days of ignorance, God didn't kill me.
Yeah.
And how many things didn't we do?
Yeah.
Before we
That's
came to
true.
The real knowledge of the truth.
Yeah.
When I was running around in my Pentecostal days and my, you know, in my foolish days. It's only by God's mercy and grace, but then as we go along, as we mature, as we grow, as we learn, we begin to understand that this whole thing about God is serious business. And lighting fires and having brass and altars and revisiting the days of Aaron when you know, we know that Aaron's priesthood was just temporary and that Jesus is a priest after the order of Melchizedek.
Yeah.
Why even go there?
Yeah.
But again, they want the money. See, what drives these people to all of these theatrics, and basically that Thursday night, that was just Hollywood. What
yeah.
drives them to do all of that is money. Money is the bottom line for these people. Money.
Yeah, and it wasn't surprising to me, of course. This was Tuesday night on the so-called Word Network, which I call the Unword Network.
Mm-hmm.
Which they had this 120 live, which usually Rod Parsley is there, but of course he can't talk. So Steve
mm-hmm.
Muncy took his place, and Steve Muncy says, well, Rod is not here because he had a throat procedure. Well, he doesn't tell the people he has throat cancer. He tells them he has a throat procedure. And then he produces, he goes to this altar and lights this fire and spends 2 hours trying to scam people to give this offering. Okay, so Wednesday night they have the live broadcast from World Harvest Church in Columbus, and I tuned in just to see if they had any updates. I tune in and I get the news about his condition, which I then relay to the people on my broadcast because it comes directly from them. And you can go there and hear it too, but anyway, his wife was supposed to be there Wednesday night preaching, and she wrote a note saying that she couldn't be there because Rod wasn't doing good. Now,
mm-hmm.
I wasn't surprised. I wasn't surprised, and I'm not saying that I wish him any harm or I wish any bad thing to come on him, but after what I saw on Tuesday, and I thought to myself, oh, Rod, I don't know what it's going to take for God to get through with you. And then there's his daughter. His daughter, she's probably 25 or 28 years old or whatever. She's sitting in the front row, and she's crying her eyes out because she knows how sick her father is. And I'm screaming at the television, like, is he going to repent? Like, repent. Please, repent already. What's it going to take for you to stop your scamming, to stop scamming people, to stop lying to yourself? How much more do you want to go through? How much more? Like, how much more when God has your attention like that and you're flat on your back and you can't talk and you're going through torturous cancer treatments, do you think that he would cry out to God and say, God, I'm lost, I'm undone, help me?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
No, he continues thumbing his nose up at God.
Yep. And not only thumbing their nose up at God, like you said, because they refuse to repent, but then they go through the theatrics, right, of building this brazen altar, which has no significance today. What church in America? What church in America has a brazen altar? What church? What only crazy churches? Only con artists have huge size arks of the covenants inside the sanctuary. Only people who are taking you back constantly to the Old Testament so that they can rip you off have these trinkets. Those things are mean. Like Paula, why is Paula sending people a miniature Ark of the Covenant? What does that do for me as a Christian? No, I mean, our keynote sign is the cross. It's not the Ark of the Covenant. Jesus said, if you want to be my disciple, take up your cross and follow me. It's always been the cross. Since time immemorial, our sign that has joined us together as believers. Go to any cemetery. You go to any cemetery. Even the Jewish people don't have as a tombstone the Ark of the Covenant. Right? You go to a Christian cemetery, what do you see? Crosses all the way through, right? That's always been our sign. What is Paula doing giving out Ark of the Covenants? She's purposely taking people back to the Old Testament, because if she can keep them there, she can scam them. If she can keep them there, she can deceive them. Because most people don't want to read the Old Testament. The Old Testament is hard. You need someone to take you through it and tell you, okay, this is how it connects to Jesus, and this is how it points to Jesus. They try to read it on their own, and they have great difficulty. And so here comes Paula, here comes Rod, here comes Steve Muncy, and they put their spin on it, and then people see them on Christian television. They have to be legit if they're on here, and then they get scammed.
Yeah, and you can go to his website, rodparsley.com. You'll see on his homepage that he has and I'll read this to you, and then I'm going to ask our brother to explain this whole year of Jubilee thing. But he says, as we take part in the Feast of Tabernacles, an offering commanded by God, I believe you're going to experience five amazing blessings. God promised them to you in Deuteronomy. Oxen, sheep, wine, strong drink, whatever your soul desires. We will celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles on Sunday, October 4th. I will pray for God to release five supernatural blessings upon you. Anointed prayer warriors from across the nation will join me in prayer for you. Where in your life do you need release, freedom, deliverance? It's time for your Jubilee.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, he's not free, right? I mean, he's still going to cancer treatments. He's still at home. He can't go to church. His wife has to stay home and babysit him. And the amazing thing is, you know, he promises people healing, because you get these emails from Rod Parsley where he's promising you healing if you're sending this. Yet he's got cancer.
Yeah,
and people can't connect the dots. They can't say, wait a minute. Doesn't this guy have – he's promising me healing, and didn't he give the offering himself? Because I'm sure that if he's asking me to give the offering, he already gave it. And if he's promising me healing, he should have been healed, but he's not healed. Well, you know, the Lord has taken his time. No, no, no. When Jesus healed blind Bartimaeus, he was healed instantly. With the woman with the issue of blood, when she got healed, she was healed instantly. This thing about, you know, waiting 50 days, 60 days, 70 days to get healed, that's not the way Jesus healed. He healed them, and they were healed, and that was that, and they kept going.
Yeah. So what is the year of Jubilee?
Well, in the Jewish economy, rather, in the Hebrew Jewish economy, because Hebrew and then later on Jewish, in their economy and their religious system, there was a count off of 50 years. You have 6 years first, right? You have 6 years where everybody works, and then you have a sabbatical year, a year off. Then you have six more years, another sabbatical. So now each 6 years of work and one sabbatical year made a week or 7 years. Now you take that seven and you multiply it by seven and you get 49, right? So you have a cycle of seven until you come to the seventh and you have 49 years. Now, the next year is the year of Jubilee. So really you have, let's say if I'm in the cycle and I happen to, my business goes bad and I wind up owing a lot of money. Now, this is year 35. So I have to work now for somebody else. I have to become someone else's indentured servant until either I pay off the debt or the year of Jubilee comes. So let's say I went into debt. Let's say I went bankrupt. Let's use American terms. Let's say I went bankrupt in the 35th year. Well, by year 15, you take 35 and 15, then the 15th year I go free. That's the year of Jubilee. So if you owed somebody money or you were in debt or you went into bondage, the year of Jubilee set you free and all debts were canceled. And if you lost your house, if you lost your lands, the lands were returned to you in the year of Jubilee. So that's basically the way it worked in Israel's dispensation or in Israel's economy. And it was God's way of protecting the nation from having perpetual bankruptcy or perpetual slavery or perpetual indebtedness. At some point in time, God wanted to show that there was a measure of grace. That was the whole theme behind the year of Jubilee.
Okay.
Now, our friends, and is that okay? Is that pretty much explained?
Yeah.
Are you
but
satisfied with
that? That was
only
for Israel because Israel was a theocracy.
Yeah, Israel was a theocracy under Israel's economy, again, the nation of Israel, which was a complete nation with a national priesthood. Again, it had one recognized center of worship, whether the people went to the tabernacle at one period or to the temple. You didn't have 50 centers of worship. You didn't have 50 churches. You had one main church, and that was at the tabernacle or at the temple. You had one main center of worship. You had one priesthood. You couldn't follow for 501c3 status, and you can start your own church like we do here in America, where everyone has their own little ministry. No,
yeah.
You couldn't do that in Israel. Everything was under God, and there was only one of everything. Now, under that system, there were feast days, and then of course you had the feast days that were, for example, the Sabbath was a weekly feast day. Every Saturday you had the day off. That was
yeah.
a feast day. And then you had your monthly feast days. Then you had your annual feast days. And then you had your 50-day feast days. Well, the year of Jubilee was the 50-day feast day, 50-year feast day. So you had seven cycles of 7 years. So you take seven times seven, that's 49. So you had 6 years you worked. Then you had the sabbatical year. Another 6 years you worked, the sabbatical year. And you went like that in seven cycles till you hit the year 49. Starting the year 50 was the year of Jubilee. And anyone who was in debt, they didn't have credit cards back then, but if I use that term, if you had credit card debt, your slate was wiped clean in the year of Jubilee. And if you lost your lands because you went into debt, the lands were returned back to you. So that's the great year of Jubilee. Now our friends in the Word of Faith movement have taken this Jewish concept and have brought it into the church. The problem is that Rod Parsley can declare me free, but American Express doesn't recognize it. See, Rod Parsley can get me to give him an offering, a Jubilee offering, right? Which, again, there was no Jubilee offering, folks. That they made that up. There's no Jubilee offering. But, again, they're always looking for a way to make money. So if you give Rod Parsley or Paula or Steve the Jubilee offering, then they promise you that you will have debt cancellation. The problem is every month you get the Visa bill, you get the American Express, you get the Discover bill, and you know what happened to my debt? It never came.
Yeah.
You're hoping that the bank is going to send you the deed to your house. Listen, we just canceled your mortgage. You gave your money over there at World Harvest Church, and, by all means, here's your deed. You still owe 46 years on your mortgage, but because you gave that offering, we're sending you the deed.
Yeah.
You see, the problem is, again, that it's a scam. Now, let me tell you, back, Rob Parsley did this in 1998. And Israel became a nation in 1948 and celebrated its 50-year anniversary in 1998. Well, what do you think old Rod Parsley did? He ran a scam the year of Jubilee.
Yeah.
Okay, so now, if you go from 1998 where he ran that scam till today, 2015, only 17 years have passed.
Yeah.
So, Rod, why are you running the 50-year again? I mean, I did my math. He did it in 1998, celebrating Israel's Jubilee. And if you're following the Jewish calendar, like Rod says we have.
Oh, yeah, he's following
right?
that one. Yeah.
So now if we just celebrated the year of Jubilee in 1998 and it's 2015, Rod, you're 33 years early. So what calendar are you operating from? You see, they make stuff up. And they want you to think, they believe that Christians have long-term memory, that we forget easily. I don't forget when they run these scams.
I remember. It was a big thing.
Yeah, it was in 1998 when Israel was 50 years as a nation. They ran that scam. TBN ran it. They all ran it. They made money
except
on
that. Except the Nation of Israel didn't run it.
Exactly. They didn't run it. And no synagogue celebrated it. And no rabbi brought it up in their church.
No.
And so now, again, here, 17 years early, and again, they just make stuff. Now, this Jubilee is based on the Second Temple reckoning. Now, if anybody knows anything about the Second Temple, Jesus went in there twice, threw out the money changers, called it a den of thieves, and prophesied that it would be brought down. And didn't it come down? It was brought down the same way Paul of White's churches were brought down. Bulldozed, wiped off the face of the earth. If you go to Jerusalem today, they can't tell you where the Second Temple stood because it's been wiped off the face of the earth. So they're going by that institution, which Jesus condemned, which Jesus fought against, which Jesus prophesied would come down. They're going on that reckoning. And again, they're just using it to scam people. And I'm pretty sure if they can find next year another way to declare a jubilee, they'll do it because they're moneymakers.
Yeah. But
and
I would like to
this.
Know now, if anybody out there, please send me your testimony, because I don't know of one person, that I ever heard that received total debt cancellation, that all their mortgage was canceled, their car payment, all their credit cards were canceled. The electric company gave them a grace period. The cable company gave them. Please, if you're out there, please let me know if you experienced the year of Jubilee, which I know you didn't, because owe the money.
Sure, sure. Or who did the mafia forgive? Can anybody call us and say, listen, I owed the mafia. I went into gambling. I owed them. I went to a bookie, and then the mafia, they forgave me. Can somebody please let us know?
I want to know your crazy relative that you borrowed money from. I want to know how they forgave you when you didn't pay them back. Let me know, please, because in the first place, if you borrow money from somebody, you need to pay it back.
Absolutely.
And the only way you get debt cancellation is if you file for bankruptcy. That's it. Don't send your money to Rod Parsley or Paula White or Steve Muncy or any of those other. You're not getting a year of Jubilee. You're not going to get it. It doesn't exist. It's a lie.
And, you can tell that all of it is a lie when you ask. Just try to hook up. Try to get yourself a Jewish friend who goes to a synagogue, and just ask them: Are you guys celebrating first fruits? And they'll look at you like if you came from Mars, because they don't do it. They don't do it. They just don't do it. I mean, And these are just
call up a synagogue and ask them. I did a few years ago. I called a synagogue. I said, do you collect tithes over there? No, we don't collect tithes. Go ahead. Do it. Ask.
Yeah, and Malachi was written for them. And Malachi was written for the Jewish people. No, so, the problem is, as we've shared so many times, Susan, Christians just don't read their Bibles. They just fail to read their Bibles. And Paul puts it beautifully in Galatians 2:16. He says this in Galatians 2:16. He says, let no teacher therefore bother you when it comes to meat or what you shall drink or in respect to holy days. Look at what Paul is saying. There are people who are going to come around claiming to be teachers from God, and they're going to annoy you, pester you by pushing holy days and new moons and Sabbaths.
Yeah.
He says these things were shadows of things to come, and they all pointed to Jesus, who brought their fulfillment to pass. And so it all ends with Jesus. And that's why Paul said, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has set you free. And the liberty in context there is liberty from the law of Moses. I'm set free from the law. Every Christian is set free from the law of Moses.
Yes, hallelujah. 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 The Christians, everybody, they want a get-rich-quick scheme. It's like live any way you want, do anybody the way you want, and just go to church or send some TV preachers some money, and money just is going to flood in. Well, it doesn't happen that way. The only way that anybody ever acquires wealth of any kind is they have to work for it. You have to work for it. There's no other way. If you don't work, you don't eat. That's that simple. You have to work. You have to have a continually work, save your money, invest your money, and that's the way you obtain wealth.
And you live according to your means. You don't.
Yes,
you don't
live according to your
means. We could all be. I know. The first time, I got into the foolishness about I had to have a new car. Well, okay, so. Yeah, I got myself a new car, and it was spanking brand new. But then, guess what? The payments were high, the insurance was high.
Yeah.
Right. Then I learned. Then I after that experience, I said, you know what? I can buy a used car. I can maintain it. I can buy it cash. I don't have to give the car company any of my extra money. I don't have to give the insurance company any of my extra money. And that's how we maintain our wealth. Instead of giving our wealth away, we can live within our means, and we can do quite well. And
sure.
Most millionaires live that way.
Yes,
most
because $1 million really doesn't go that far in a lifetime.
Exactly.
You know, if you live 60 years or 80 years or 90 years, it's not a lot of money, really.
Sure.
Not in these times to get you by. But that's the advice that these, if someone was really a man of God or a woman of God, they just tell you the truth. Look, you need to work, save your money, invest your money. Some of the richest, the wealthiest people in the world invested their money in real estate, find ways to earn money, save money, and you'll have a good life. You won't have any problems. You won't have to send in atonement offerings and trying to bribe yourself, bribe God, and to buy his favor that somehow he's going to look down upon you with mercy. And, you got yourself into the mess. Yes, if you repent, he will help you. He will show you ways to get out of the mess that you created. But we have to learn how to live our lives decently and to be honest with people, to have a good testimony, to have integrity, to do what we say we're going to do. And that's the testimony we should be giving the world, not this shameless testimony that we see on so-called Christian television where they have every kind of scam going and it's just made a laughingstock out of the gospel. Who wants that Jesus? I don't want that Jesus that I have to go and I have to hand him $100. I don't want that Jesus.
You know, I have friends who, when Avanzini's book came out on wealth transfer and Maura Cirillo's book came out on wealth transfer and Benny Hinn's book came out on wealth transfer, they all bought the lies. They sent these guys money. 20 years later, they're still waiting for their wealth transfer. They're still waiting for the wealth of the wicked. And you know what I did? I went to work. And that's how I accumulated my wealth. And that's how everybody I know has accumulated. You go to work instead of waiting for, the wealth of the wicked to fall into your hands. Because it's the opposite. It's the wealth of the righteous that ends up in the hands of the wicked. Wicked men like Cirillo and Benny Hinn and Avanzini. So it's
wicked.
The wealth transfer in the other direction.
Yeah. Yeah, let me know if you ever got a wealth transfer by giving any of these people money. Probably not, because I stopped tithing and seed sowing in 1997, and my life has been 1,000,000% better than it ever was when I was trying to buy my blessings. And so, no, you live a good life, honor God, love your neighbor as yourself, follow the royal law of love, and live with honesty and integrity, and God will bless you But he doesn't have to bless you. He doesn't have to do anything. You know, God does not require to do anything, really, except he takes care of his children. But he doesn't have to give you a 100-fold return or a 50-fold return or a 30-fold return. God, it says, and I think in the book of Romans, that he doesn't have to recompense you, which means he doesn't have to pay you back. So these false teachers, they overlook those scriptures with all these glowing promises, but you're basically playing the lottery with them, and that's about it. Their Jesus does not exist. It's another Jesus. It's another gospel, and stay away from these people. Put them out of business. Walk with your feet and your wallet and your checkbook, and I'd like to see an end to it, but I guess as long as we're alive, we'll continue to see. Look at the Catholic Church. They're the biggest scam artists going, and look at the millions of people that came out to see the false prophet, the Pope.
Yep,
so,
yep. And the people drinking the Kool-Aid about, you know, and not just the Catholic Kool-Aid, but the Kool-Aid about he's so much for the poor. Well, I mean, and about class war. Well, who's the only one with a white outfit? He's the only one with a white outfit in his entourage. That's class warfare right there. And he's the only one using the chalices and the 747. And listen, it's amazing how people drink the Kool-Aid.
Yeah, they're drinking it.
I was shocked. The commentators on TV, look at him. Look, we know he's a pastor. Look how he broke the bread. By that, you can tell he's a pastor by the way he broke the wafer?
Yeah, well, the thing is, too, like the commentators and the translators and even the guy himself, he's so boring, he even puts himself to sleep when he's talking.
I couldn't believe it. I said, there's someone... I thought that Dougie Shackelford was the only guy who can put people to sleep. When I saw the Pope, the Pope was asleep.
I said I have to put the Pope up.
Yeah, I said I have to put the Pope. The next time
yeah,
I go on the air, and I talk to Dougie.
Charisma as an ant, you know.
Yeah. No charisma whatsoever.
And I'm like, what in the world is going on? Yeah, because Dougie Shackelford, he for sure puts you to sleep.
Oh,
when he
boy,
starts
that guy.
Talking.
Please.
But this guy,
if I ever
this
have
guy
insomnia.
Takes the cake.
Yeah, if I ever have insomnia, I can tell you.
Yeah,
Doug
Shackelford and Pope Francis. I guarantee
it.
You, there's a cure for insomnia.
Neck and
I said,
neck.
I don't get it.
Yeah, yeah. But that's, you know, that's the world. The world. Those even the Catholics, they don't read their Bibles, you know. And this
obviously
guy will come,
not.
Yeah, he will come and go, and their world will not change a bit. And you know, and like you were saying in the beginning, the biggest lie is, how does Jesus wind up in that wafer? Can somebody tell me, please? How does he wind up in the cup? You tell me, please. Come on. Get real.
In millions of cups around the world, comes down from heaven and goes into a wafer.
No, and then he did it today because he celebrated Mass in Philadelphia
today. He did.
Today.
Yeah, he
so,
put Jesus
so
in
Jesus,
the wafer there.
Jesus has better stuff to do than to show up in a wafer. Please. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. You think Jesus is going to be coming down all over the world to come into wafers? Please, folks, please.
I was like, stop it already. Stop. I couldn't believe it. 20,000 people in Madison Square Garden last night looking at him making it, turning Jesus into a wafer, Jesus coming into the wafer. And same thing today. They're going, ooh. And I couldn't believe it.
Yeah,
I couldn't believe it. But anyway, that's about our program today, everybody. So
thank
I want to thank my brother.
Me.
Don't
Thank
forget.
You for having me. It's a pleasure.
Yeah.
I hope I was
a
benefit, a blessing. All right. God bless.
Yeah. Yeah. And don't forget to check out the Brother Wolf Tracker's program on Blog Talk Radio. The Wolf Tracker and Daily Manna from Heaven. And do you still have the program Love Remnant Tabernacle?
Yes.
Okay. Love Remnant Tabernacle is out there for you. There's a Bible course that's available on that.
Yeah, we're rebooting that all over again, the Bible Institute.
Okay, so there's a Bible Institute. Also, he will send you an outline to follow on his Daily Manna program. So if you want to do some Bible study, that's available to you. And I want to thank my brother for coming on. Thank you so much.
Problem.
It was a real
blessing.
Thank
you for having me.
Okay, bye-bye. All right, everybody, thank you. That's our program today. Don't forget the most important thing. Give your life to Jesus Christ today. Repent of your sins. Ask him to come into your life. Be born again, not of corruptible things, but of incorruptible. Not from baptism, but from repenting of your sins and asking Jesus Christ to come into your life and to save you. So don't forget to tune in again next week. We'll have another wonderful program. Thanks, everybody in the chat room and everybody that tuned in. God bless you. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye.
Hey, record. Here we go. I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.